Okay, so then at this point, he just does a, you know, a dance, a nifty dance, and the problem's solved.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're getting Utah mixed up with Footloose in this case.
I get everything mixed up with Footloose. Dave Stern. Say hello, Dave.
Hello.
I'm Trying to Think is sponsored by the Foundation Institute. Check foundation-institute.org. And you can visit I'm Trying to Think on the web at imtryingtothink.com. If you're having a problem spelling imtryingtothink.com, just Google it. This is our first episode, so we wanted to first do an introduction of sorts.
Who we are, why we are,
what's going on, right? The fellows at the Foundation Institute came to us, and they said, hey, why don't you two do a podcast, throw some things out there, talk to the people, get the feedback, work the, you know, work the lines, as it were.
They like three-word sentences a lot.
They're very direct, yeah.
Yeah, first, just verb, definite article, object.
Yeah, it works, though.
Yeah, that's how they get things done.
The U is understood, so they don't even have to say that. I mean, that's effort wasted otherwise.
Yep.
We are podcasting, as it were, from the Pittsburgh studios here. You know, the Pittsburgh branch of things, as it were.
Yeah, very sort of high-class branch. You know, a lot of animals running around, precarious sort of efforts.
Precarious soundproofing. Yeah.
Although I think we've gotten past the part where that comically falls down. That happened off air.
Yeah, that happened off the air. But you have to admit there are a lot of books in the room. So
it's studious.
It is a place of learning.
Yep. I feel studious.
All right, good. That's the mood that we want to get into. Because we are trying to think. And that title came after a long and arduous process of title fishing.
There was some bad. We threw a lot of stuff back.
We're going to do a whole show. I'm thinking episode maybe 5, where we just go through all of the topics or all the titles that we came up with
just disasters.
Well, I mean, not all of them were disasters. Some of them were in there.
Some of them had potential,
but they spoke ill. Or they spoke poorly of what we were actually representing.
I'm pretty sure at least one of them was vaginomite.
Well, Dave, there's no reason to be critical of my title ideas now. I mean, it's past the time. We can just let it go. I think Vaginamite was an excellent one.
You do think that, yes.
Yeah. I'm trying to think we'll cover a variety of topics as we go week to week. You know, we'll be try to be interesting and use many perspectives to determine...
Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Quick question. We're covering, I want to make sure because I think I may have been making a mistake. We are covering a variety of topics.
A variety of topics, yeah.
Not just the one?
No, Dave, I've told you that is not going to stretch out to multiple shows.
Because I've been doing a lot of research on pretty much just one thing, and it's unfortunate if that's wasted.
I know you've been doing a lot of research on it. Not everyone would call that research, though. I just want you to know, when you go out into the general public, don't refer to your research on that single topic. I think a lot of people will find it impolite.
Well, in fairness, when I'm in public, I don't call it research. I cop to the fact that it's masturbation.
Okay, good. I'm glad we're all on the same page. Oh, the throat clearing, that's terrible. You're going to have to cut that. We're going to have to call the editors right now. Just let them know ahead of time that I cleared my throat, and that's going to have to go.
I don't know. I mean, that's the kind of attitude that would have prevented the recording of Let Me Clear My Throat, and that song's awesome.
Yeah, but I think he was planning to clear his throat throughout the song. You don't think it, I mean, do you think that was an accident? Do you think he was just
Yeah,
like,
I'm pretty
oh,
sure.
hold on, wait. I know I'm in the middle of a song. Let me clear my throat.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the original title of that song was Let Me Do Some Raps. And
And
that's terrible.
problems came. He you know, was experiencing
Yeah.
some dry throat issues.
And a hit is born.
Yeah, maybe some phlegm going on in there. It
Probably.
got phlegmatic up in that piece.
I hate that sentence, but yeah, I would agree with that. That's probably what
All right.
happened.
So, if you have any questions about what we do here or who we are or anything else, please go to our website at imtryingtothink.com and ask us the questions. Send us the feedback.
We love answering questions because we're bored.
We're fairly bored most of the time. I mean, I spent a good portion of this afternoon freeing the land of Azeroth from the clutches of Kel'Thuzad, and I have to tell you, those two things don't even exist.
Yeah, that's a good harbinger of a man with a lot of free time.
A lot of free time. So, you know, thank you for tuning in, and we'll continue on with topics. Topic: the Costco thing.
Okay, so recently, like one of my roommates, left, lit out for the West Coast, graduate school, that sort of thing.
Right.
So we've got a subletter.
A sub letter.
Yes, that is the word I just said. Anyhow, he's a decent guy, whatever, it's fine. But one thing that I noticed, I opened the freezer door like a week or two ago. And they're in the freezer is now mostly occupied by 10 pounds of tortellini.
That's a lot of tortellini.
And this, I mean, one, it seems pretty clear, and two, I talk to him, in just a what the hell kind of sense, and it's a Costco thing. I am not a Costco member personally. You are a Costco member.
I am a devoted Costco-y, yes.
So I just want to figure out if this makes sense in a couple ways. Because there are a couple things that just seem wrong to me.
Okay.
Okay, one is that if you are a single person, like, shopping for food for yourself, does it even make sense to be shopping at Costco for most things?
Probably not, but this all flows into a sort of a psychological theory, if you will, that I have.
Do tell.
All right, you are familiar with Piaget's work. He deduced these different phases of childhood development, object permanence, things like that, when children develop to
Right.
different senses. I think if Piaget would have continued his work, he would have eventually found that in your life you do reach a Costco phase. You understand? So that is the
Vaguely.
phase at which it is reasonable for you to shop at Costco.
I feel like that substantially involves when you're shopping for a household, though. Like multiple people
It
seems to
doesn't
me.
necessarily, but to put it this way, you would really have to be a tortellini lover to go through 10 pounds of tortellini in any reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, and here's the second thing about that seems crazy to me. It's one thing if he liked tortellini, he is a obsessive bargain guy, so he shops at Costco. He got the Costco tortellini. It happened to be 10 pounds, I would be like, okay, that's kind of silly, but I would accept it and I would move on. But why I'm stuck on this is it's 2 5-pound bags. 2 5-pound bags. So he's at Costco, he buys 5 pounds of tortellini, and he looks, and he kind of, maybe thinks a little bit, he's stroking his chin deliberately, he's like, it's not quite enough. I need to double the amount of tortellini.
What if they had some sort of sale if you bought two, it was cheaper, buy one, get one free? Would you want them to leave behind 5 pounds of tortellini?
Yes, I think that's an American problem, actually, is
Not leaving behind 5 pounds of tortellini?
yeah, in a metaphorical sense, sometimes apparently a literal sense, yes.
In a metaphorical sense, Americans don't leave behind enough tortellini.
Yes.
I actually can see where you're going, and that kind of perplexes me.
No, it's the same thing as, I mean, the buy one get one free problem is the same thing as, the supersizing problem.
So you think it's all tied together into this world of buying too much for too
Yes.
little? Okay, I have to, let's talk about that for a moment, though. Mm-hmm. The supersize me problem with the McDonald's or what have you. At a McDonald's, you supersize for X number of cents, right? And right. It seems like a great value. In truth, you're getting maybe 2 cents more food, and McDonald's is making an enormous profit. I don't think that's the case at Costco. I don't think once they have 5 pounds of tortellini, you know, a couple more pounds is even cheaper.
No, I mean, it's not the same economics behind it, but I feel like it's the same psychological problem.
Possibly. I think the Costco shopper is, well, you know, a fine, handsome man. Perhaps dark-haired, with a Raven. Beautiful, well-coiffed head of curls and a nice, lengthy goatee, we'll say.
Okay, so you want desperately to make love to yourself, but that's neither here nor there.
Continue. No, Costco is an interesting place to shop if you're a single man living with other single men. Unless you all go together and agree that tortellini is a group project. The guy lives across the street from a grocery store, because you live across the street. I would assume that that grocery store has a reasonable amount of tortellini to be purchased.
Yeah, if I wanted tortellini, I
could have to think that the discount levels for a Costco tortellini purchase, just not worth it. Does this gentleman have a vehicle, a motor vehicle?
I don't think so. I'm not 100% sure.
That's very interesting, because you do live with him, but regardless.
Well, I live with him. That doesn't necessarily mean I care about him.
Well, you talk to him, though.
Yeah, if I have to.
Doesn't he say, I'm going somewhere maybe sometime, and have keys in his hand or something?
No, not that I've yet seen.
He carry fuzzy dice around?
I think he takes the bus to Costco.
All right, well, if he takes the bus to Costco, that's even more ridiculous. Because there's no way you can shop at a Costco from a bus. You can buy two items. That's it. If you're lucky. And to get into the Costco, I mean, it's possible his parents have a membership and he's just sort of leeching off them. But imagine if he has his own membership.
Right, that's even more ridiculous to do it.
That's just, I have to say he's out of his league.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm that it's him that's crazy and not me. And also, buying things from Costco led him at one point to have a loaf of bread in the freezer.
Yeah, loaf of bread in the freezer is a reasonable thing.
Okay, that is reasonable?
Yeah, don't start with me. I mean, come on. I have loaves of bread in my freezer. You need to back off. Here's the deal with a loaf of bread in the freezer. We buy a loaf of bread. You know, I have a wife. We are a small family unit of two. We buy a loaf of bread from the grocery store. Neither of us is a big sandwich eater. Rather than have the bread go moldy, you freeze it, and you thaw it when you need it, and it works out really well.
Okay, see, that I didn't know that part was reasonable.
That's incredibly reasonable.
Okay.
Note that we do not have 10 pounds of tortellini, despite the fact that both of us are tortellini lovers.
All right, I think that just about wraps that up.
That proves that. But let's talk for a moment about my goatee.
If we must. If I can't stop you, no, then go.
I've been growing it out and sort of going for a length thing. Maybe, you know, get the King Tut Egyptian-style thing going with the goatee.
It's good, because I'm going to say, if there's one thing that plays well in audio, it's goatee.
It's goatees. Then, yeah, because everybody can... we could post a picture of the goatee to the website, and everybody will have an understanding. But I think everybody can understand long and goatee, right? I have hair that grows from my chin. I'm allowing it to grow at a rate, you know, without stopping it.
Which is equal to distance times time.
Distance times time. And
wait, that's wrong. Hold on.
You're completely wrong. It's distance.
We just flunked it. Distance. We just flunked physics.
It's distance divided by time would be rate. All right. At any rate, the goatee is growing and stretching out to several inches. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? 3-4 inches?
Yes.
I've found, though, at this point in the growth of the goatee, now I have to brush it. That's just weird.
It's hair, man.
It's, you know, it's
hair.
It's getting scraggly. Face it's hair turning around.
Is still hair.
But I don't brush my hair, though. That's the funny thing. Right? I keep it short. I've got these curls. If I brush it, it actually looks worse. You let it go natural, just dry, and it gets kind of a bushy thing going. I like it. But the beard, I can't do that with. Because it will curl, like, back up into itself and stab me in the face.
It's that kind of, like, self-loathing beard.
Yeah, I'm having assaults by beard. I wake up, and my beard is assaulting me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ow! My face! Oh, what's going on? And it's the beard.
Right.
I'm hoping with brushing, with regular brushing, maybe the beard will come to love me. And then I won't have any
problems.
It's kind
of a treat your face well, and your face will treat you with that respect.
You scratch my chin. I don't know. I don't know how that goes. But I'm scratching my chin a lot.
Well, of course, you got a beard.
I don't know what the, yeah, but I don't know what the result is going to be.
You should get itchy.
I know what happens when I scratch somebody's back. I don't know what happens when I scratch my own beard.
Again, this is in terms of metaphor and rhetoric, right? Not.
No, I mean literally, because I do believe this thing has a mind of its own.
Okay.
I'm being literal.
Okay.
And it's dangerous.
Yes.
But that's enough about my beard. I mean, it's happy. Now, we've talked about it on the podcast, and I think it's happy. It's purring.
I'm pretty sure that's you. I'm pretty sure that's just you.
You don't know, though. Sounds all coming from the same place. In my face area. So you can't be sure. Thank you, Goatee. You've been good to me. That's all. We can stop this bit.
Okay, like then it. This bit is over.
A wizard needs a beard. A pirate needs a beard. A hippie needs a beard. And you need a beard.
Topic. You big dummy. You had requested that I read the Sanford letters, the Mark Sanford letters.
Yeah, I would say quick recap of the situation in case people have been paying attention to important news instead of that news.
Well, you know.
Or no news at all.
We can debate importance later, but Mark Sanford, who is the governor of South Carolina, disappeared for a weekend. The term disappeared means here that he was not reachable, apparently, by his staff, his wife,
yeah, he just
his
sort of
children.
Vanished. Wasn't the original excuse was he was hiking the Appalachian Trail?
I don't believe that was original, but that was an excuse at some point in time.
Right, that was an excuse at some point during that. I'm pretty sure that's going to take its place in the hallowed halls of delightful euphemism now.
I like it as a euphemism. Hiking the Appalachian Trail is a good one. Mm-hmm. So, at the end of the weekend, Father's Day even passes. At the end of the weekend, he says, oh, I'm going to, you know, he comes back to work Tuesday, I think. I'm not sure. Gives a press conference. I've been unfaithful to my wife. I'm with this Argentinian woman. We'll call her Maria. Blah, blah, blah.
It's been
on
like
a boat.
A decade.
It's been,
something
yeah,
like that.
I don't know a decade, but it's been several years, apparently. Good for you. You know what I mean? Because there's nothing better than when the columns, the pillars of our community, it's not really a community, but, you know, the nation, the pillars of our nation.
Pillars of our nation.
Kind of then have sex with Argentinian chicks.
Yeah, but I think the reason that I want to talk about this, you know, because the first sort of reaction to it, you know, a reasonable one is, you know, the like, haha, you know, sort of sanctimonious Republican governor, blah, 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 gay marriage, blah, blah, blah. He said this when Bill Clinton happened, blah, blah, blah. Now he's hoisted by his own petard. Like, I don't care about that anymore because, honestly, at this point, that's rote. Like, that's, like, you know what I mean? That's.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
Do you know what a petard is?
It's something nautical. It's something nautical, isn't it?
No, it is not something nautical.
I knew what a petard is at some point, but that point is clearly no longer now.
It is a grenade, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So it blows you up. Which, the thing
hoisting
I like about
seems
that
seems like the wrong word for that.
Yeah. I just like that term because it sounds very innocent. But it is referring to a literal sense of actually people who were exploded when they attempted to light a large, like, several pound heavy grenade full of explosives and blew themselves up.
Yeah, it does sound sort of like charming, like, huh, he got hoisted by his own petard. But no, that is some grisly shit, my
friend.
It
means he suffered a brutal death. Yeah, I mean, in the literal sense. But, of course, we use it figuratively.
Yeah, but anyhow.
Anyway, he was hoisted. So, go ahead.
So, yeah, that's rote at this point, you know. I don't I'm not that interested in, you know, a philandering politician, philandering Republican politician, whatever. What sort of caught my attention is that some of his love letters were published. And if, I believe my associate has them called up.
I do.
So if you could give us some quick excerpts.
Right. Well, before we get into this, you were saying that some of it was good writing. And I feel that, you know, I've looked over it, and I feel that some of it could be mistaken for a nice romantic writing. And, I mean, it seems like heartfelt. We're peeking into another person's private life, and I think that he's sincere. And that's a nice effect of the wordage that he uses. But I'm not going to say that this was quality writing. I will submit a snippet.
Okay, please do.
From Mark Sanford to his mystery lover. Beloved, back to you, ellipse. Okay, I don't get that. I don't know what it means, but beloved is a nice word. It makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Got back an hour ago to civilization and am now in Colombia after what was for me a glorious break from reality down at the farm. No phones ringing, intangible evidence of a day's labors. Though I have started every day by 6 this morning, woke up at 4:30, I guess since my body knew it was the last day, and I went out and ran the excavator with lights until the sun came up. So there may be portions of this that are very good writing, but there's a lot of it that's just crappy, you know, writing about your day kind of stuff. But he says nice things. She says nice things in return. You know, you are glorious, and I hope you really understand that. Very nice. That's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends this letter, hugs and much love. M.
I like hugs and much love.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think add that to my email signature.
That reminded me of a fun story of my youth.
Okay, that I'm open to hearing this.
I will relate to you now. At several points in my youth, I've been involved in programs for the exceptional and the gifted, which, of course, is, you know, one of the qualifications that brought me to the attention of the Foundation Institute.
Right.
Naturally.
Yeah, they look for that kind of thing.
It's at one point, I was at one of these programs when I was 16 years old. It was a summer program. It was 5 weeks. I was staying with lots and lots of other kids who were, you know, also gifted or what have you. I don't know if we're...
There's a lot of sort of, I'm just going to say, social awkwardness?
Oh, tons. But also just looking back, you know, in retrospect, I don't know that any of us were truly gifted. But I digress.
There was testing.
I digress. So... One of the boys there who I'd made good friends with had a girlfriend at home. When you're 16 years old and you're at a summer program for 5 weeks, girlfriend at home might as well be a non-existent person in storybook because he, you know, most of the people there were off philandering with guys and girls who were not their, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends back home.
Oh, man. Socially awkward, gifted student philandering.
Yes, it was beautiful. So, this friend would get letters from his girlfriend back home every few days, like every other day. And because he did not value their relationship, he let his roommate read the letters. And his roommate found them, you know, extremely humorous and read them to all of us. Now, I want you to picture this for a moment. The roommate of this boy, the roommate who read the letters, was about 350 pounds.
Oh.
Big man. Guy.
Right.
He was from Philadelphia.
Born and raised?
Yes, and he was from urban Philadelphia. He was not a rich kid.
Okay, so a lot of washing, that sort of
yes,
thing?
Yes, a lot of washing was going on. But he was a kid from Philadelphia who weighed 350 pounds, and had at one time been involved in a manslaughter. So we're not talking about, you know, your average geeky kid. This kid was a little bit harder than the rest of us.
Right.
He would read the letters in a girly voice.
That sort of 16-year-old, I don't actually talk to girls, but if I assume this is what they sound like voice, like
I one of don't those kind know, of because again, this guy was, he was a little bit, like I said, he was a little harder than the rest of us. So I don't know if there was as much awkwardness in his voice as it was, if you could imagine, the roughness of a 16-year-old juvenile delinquent who was right. also gifted, just for right. chance. He would read all the letters and they would all end the same way. And I still hear his voice to this day reading the end of the letters. Love, Amy. Heart, smiley face. And that haunts me to this day. That this poor girl's heart was, her 16-year-old heart, which, right. doesn't really count as much of a heart.
I mean, it's there to be broken.
It's there, but it was being poured onto this page. And here was eight of us squeezed into this tiny dorm room. Laughing our asses off as this kid wrote those letters. And I mean, there's no punchline to that story. It's just a good right. story. Love, Amy.
I want to say,
heart, smiley face.
Okay, so coming back around to the Sanford thing.
And that's what the Sanford thing made me think of, because he ends it with hugs and much love. And I was like, love, Mark Sanford. Heart, smiley face.
Right. But I will say, one thing that it sort of reminded me of was there's like, I think there's a comedian, I want to say it's a Greg Giraldo bit about like letters from the Civil War.
Yeah, I think it is Greg Giraldo.
Letters now and just sort of the decline of American letters.
When I was reading that, he does a voice when he does that bit, well, and no, that came to my head.
It's basically the voice, he's basically doing the anyone in Ken Burns' is the Civil War
right.
doing a voiceover read of letters.
If I may.
Often Morgan Freeman.
If I may. Beloved, back to you. Got back an hour ago to civilization, and am now in Colombia after what was for me a glorious break from reality down at the farm. That kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
I think I do that voice fairly well. I could do a whole bit in that voice. We should consider
that. Pretty good. Like, you can do that. I'll do Pepperidge Farm Guy.
You do a good Pepperidge Farm Guy.
It's not bad, no.
You should read one of these as Pepperidge Farm Guy.
Yeah, I don't have them in front of me right now.
Yeah, but that's all right. But that would be a good bit.
Yeah. We'll keep that in our back pocket.
Keep it in the back pocket.
But this sort of seems to be more a return to that kind of type of letters, you know? Like, it seems that, you know, it's a bit more flowery. It has a sort of grandiloquence that I appreciated.
It's not typical email, which is nice in the first place. That he's actually, they're writing back and forth. They're writing letters to each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not email.
Ray, fucking you.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, there's no quotations where they've cut out bits and they're responding to specific bits of the
right. Movie.
So that's a nice reprieve. But all the same, I think it's as much. It's about on the same level as Love, Amy, Heart, Smiley Face.
Yeah.
I mean, it's high schooler stuff. It's not Shakespeare. But, I mean, I wasn't expecting Shakespeare. Have you seen interviews or anything else with Mark Sanford before this?
No, I didn't really pay that much attention to the man.
I believe
he was in a humorous scandal.
I believe that Stephen Colbert referred to him as the most boring man in the world. He is dry and dull, and there's no flowery speech. Bobby Jindal comes off as more impressive than Mark Sanford. And and here from the dryness of Mark Sanford comes these lovely flowery words.
He was saving it up. He was saving it up.
For Argentinians. And, you know, I'm sick of hearing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina this week. I'd just like to point that out.
Yeah, that joke was kind of funny when you're the first person who came up with it. But you're not.
Well, it doesn't, yeah, anymore. As soon as you come up with it, you're not the first person to come up with it. Because somebody else has already heard about it and already immediately made that association, because we are Americans. What else do we even know about Argentina?
Gauchos. Where are the gaucho jokes? Gauchos are funny because they're cowboys, but different.
They are cowboys, but different, but I don't think they are, you know, restricted to Argentina.
No, they're... I don't even know. Mostly Argentinian.
Do they speak?
I think Peruvian cowboys have a different name. That's also funny.
Do they speak Spanish or Portuguese in Argentina?
Spanish.
Okay, see, I didn't even know that. Do they only speak Portuguese in Brazil, or is there another place?
I think, well, Portugal, but yeah, just Brazil and South
Portugal?
America.
That still exists?
Yeah.
Man, they keeping that around? Why isn't Spain just taking that over? It's just laying there, right on the edge. You'd think they'd just be like, look, it's over. It's over for you, Portugal. And Andorra. What the hell? Why is Andorra still there?
Yeah, I think as much as I'd like to get into this round table on why Spain hasn't conquered the Iberian Peninsula, I think it might be time to take a little break.
All right, well, we'll be right back with more I'm Trying to Think. Topic: an old priest and a young priest. Welcome back to I'm Trying to Think, episode 1. I'm Chuck Warner, and with me as always is...
Dave Stern.
It's great.
And actually, quick question just about the topic title alone. I just want to clear up some confusion, because, you know, I mean, as you know, and as the listeners may or may not know, you know, I'm a Jewish man. I'm not, you know, nominally, I'm not religious generally, but in so much as I have a religion, it would be Judaism. So I'm not familiar with the exorcist stuff. So where I might be getting this mixed up with a different thing, but so there's the old priest and the young priest. Where does the borrowed priest and the blue priest fit in? Or is that a different thing?
That's a different. The old priest and the young priest thing. I'm going to unveil something to you now. Fiction.
Wait.
Of course, you know, demonic.
There are
possession.
No young priests.
That's
a lie?
No, that you use the two in tandem in an exorcism. I mean, you know, the exorcism stuff is not covered by catechism, which is the limits of my Catholic knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Because I, you know, went to that when I was young.
Right.
And in so much as I have no religion, I am a Catholic.
Right. You're a Catholic the way I'm a Jew.
Yes. You're more of a Jew than I am a Catholic. Because I think you were raised in humanistic Judaism traditions.
Right.
But not...
But we didn't go to temple or...
Right.
Basically...
But that was never an acceptance of going to temple for you.
Right. True. We weren't violating...
Right. Whereas I am distinctly rejected the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm much less of a Catholic than you are a Jew.
Okay, congratulations.
Yeah,
you're
that fight,
turning your back on religion, penis, bigger.
Point me. Point me. That makes it like 3-0.
You did say that 3 times, yes.
I wanted to cover 2 topics, though. We don't really talk about politics in the traditional sense. For good reasons.
Oh,
but there have been two topics this week. I'm interested in combining them. One thing has been, since the Mark Sanford thing, people are saying, oh, who are the Republicans going to put forth in the next election? They keep losing people. They lost the John Ensign gentleman. Candidates falling left and right. So, another topic this week that has been somewhat controversial was this video of a church in, I think it's Connecticut, that was
it was Connecticut.
Exorcism of a homosexual, who may or may not have been homosexual, teenage boy.
Right.
Let's combine the two, because there is some overlap. If you were going to have an exorcism performed on you, let's say you're possessed by
a demon. Of my gayness?
It doesn't matter.
Would it be
matter.
Of my gayness?
Could be that you're gay, could be that you, I don't know, what else do demons make you do?
Mostly just gay stuff.
See, I didn't know that there were homosexual demons until this week. So that opened up a whole new world for me.
Well, I mean, from what I remember of The Exorcist, there's like... I think it's not like a homosexual, heterosexual demon thing. But if you remember The Exorcist, she's all, you know, taking the crucifix and, you know, being rude with it. I think demons are like dogs. They just like humping stuff.
That is possible. So let's say you got a hump demon in you. And you need to get it out.
Right.
Do you call Bobby Jindal or Mike Huckabee?
Okay. Just
for purposes of the argument, we'll say the other Republican candidates not available.
Okay. So, I can't have, like, Mitt Romney have Bain Capital do, like, a hostile demon takeover kind of thing? That's not an option?
Absolutely not. And Bobby Jindal and...
Because he'd fire some people, he'd reorganize things, and I think that demon would be straightened out, or at least running on a more cash-positive level.
Yeah, but the problem is I don't know if Mormons believe in demonic possession. So, the other stipulation is Bobby Jindal and Mike Huckabee, for some reason, let's say their methods differ, I don't know, can't work together.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Jindal has experience, apparently performed an exorcism in college.
Right.
Also, ethnic. He's a little bit racial.
Is that useful, or is that some sort of positive for exorcisms, or is that just a factor
you're Let's just be honest here, Dave. You're a liberal.
It's true. I like diversity.
Diversity. That's just the point. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Whereas my country be very white. In unpacking
my knapsack of white privilege, you know, I might want to let, you know, other groups have a chance to exercise.
Right. On the other hand, you have Mike Huckabee, white guy, but he's been a pastor or some sort of minister or something.
Right.
So he's got that experience, weight loss experience, which is like a fat demon. He got rid of his own fat demon.
You know, here's one thing I'm surprised at that I haven't seen just from being on, you know, on the internet. Like, I actually haven't seen any fat Mike Huckabee pictures. Are they funny?
I don't know. He might have suppressed them. I've just heard he was fat.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I know the story, but I have seen no fat Mike Huckabee pictures.
Now, here's an interesting thing. You never see the fat Jared pictures anymore. At first you saw them. Now he's always holding those big pants. You know the Subway guy?
Yeah, yeah.
He's just holding those big pants.
Mm-hmm.
Those could be anybody's pants. I want to see the fat Jared pictures.
Again?
Not again. Anyways. So, Mike Huckabee, though, he speaks like an adult and seems to be, you know...
He's got television presence.
He's got charisma, right. Mm-hmm. Bobby Jindal talks like Mr. Rogers. But maybe that works on demons.
I don't know. It's...
But you have to make a decision. The demon is getting worse. You're humping everything in sight.
Right.
The hump demon... is just slowly rotting your soul away.
Mm-hmm. The Humpty Demon is my chance to do the hump.
If you didn't have any other chances, yeah, this would be your chance. But I'm not going to say you're going to get away with it with impunity. You know, at some point, right. The law is going to intervene.
Okay, now, here's my one problem. Mm. You know, I think ultimately I do want to get that demon out, and I'm concerned about the integrity of my crackers and my licorice. Is what it gets down to.
Yes. And your Hennessy will be gone.
You know, I might actually own Hennessy.
Then you have extra concern there. That's what I know. That's what
I want to protect that. Okay, so of the two, I'm seeing, do you have an answer also, or is this something you're kind of turning over in your head?
Don't you worry about my answer, Dave. See, I know how to solve demonic possessions.
Okay, so you've got your
answer. I think you're trying to steal my answer, that's what...
No, I just wanted to know if you already had one and were just waiting on mine, or if this was us both thinking it out.
Okay.
Because I'm going with Bobby Jindal.
I'm going with Mike Huckabee.
Oh, perfect.
And here's the reason why.
Okay, give it to me.
Mike Huckabee... seems more intelligent than Bobby Jindal. I think Bobby Jindal might have actually believed that he was actually exorcising a woman possessed by a demon.
Well, and that's who you want exorcising your demon.
No, I take the bullshitter, which is Mike Huckabee, because, let's face it, the Humpty Demon is bullshit. So he can bullshit it out of me so that I stop believing my own bullshit about the Humpty Demon.
Right.
It's like a bullshit battle. And mm-hmm. I think he's strong in the force there.
Okay, I can understand that, but I think the reason I ultimately went with Jindal is... One, I will say, I take your exception that he's not a smart guy, because I think, from what I've seen of him, he's a smart guy, and that's why he kind of had such a goony presence. I think he's like one of those smart guys with no presence. Like, because he's apparently like a sort of techno-wonkish politician in terms of his actual like nuts-and-boltsy policies. But yeah, I mean, he has kind of like a dummy sort of screen presence, but I don't hold that against him. The reason that I take a Jindal for my exorcism is pretty much just the Catholicism, I gotta say. You know, it's that kind of thing where, you know, let's say your window's broken, you know, and you've got, you know, you can call, like, a flash-in-the-pan, you know, window replacement guy, you know, or you can call, you know, the best. You know, you call the guys who've been in the town for 100 years, you know. They have a long history, you know, replacing windows. They know what to do, you know. That's how I feel about Catholics. You know, if someone's going to be performing an exorcism on me for, you know, this Humpty Demon kind of thing, you know, I want it to be the Catholics. They've got the ritual. They've got, you know, they've got guys. You know, they've got...
I want to point out one thing before you go too far in that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Catholics do have a lot of experience with demons and exorcism and such. They also have a lot of experience killing those people. You sure you want to rethink your answer here, maybe?
That's true, but I mean, we're talking Jindal. We're not talking Torquemada.
Well.
You know?
You never know. You never know. And if Bobby Jindal is so intelligent, just a few questions. Why does he not understand the value of things like volcano monitoring? And, why the hell did he change his name to Bobby?
Well, I think...
Well, actually, I know the answer.
Yeah.
Bobby Brady. Why the hell would he pick that as his role model for a new English name? Or American name?
Well, I'm not going to touch the Bobby thing, because, you know, whatever. It's... And that actually makes sense. You know, it's the immigrant experience. You know, you're just looking for the most quintessentially American thing you can find, and, you know, that's a Brady, you know? Picking a Brady, very reasonable choice for that, I think. And as for the volcano monitoring thing, you know, at the risk of just getting political again, that's just, you know, whether he does or doesn't know it's useful, he's just using that as a bullshitty talking point. It would be the fit answer to that.
He identified with Bobby Brady, though. I mean, that according to him, it's more than just a Brady, you know, a Brady. Out of all the Bradys, I'm going to pick Bobby Brady. But if you I don't know if you remember the Brady boys. Bobby was the youngest.
Yeah.
In the long-term, you know, story of the Brady Bunch, he became a race car driver. Well, not a reasonable profession. Go.
It's not a reasonable profession, but remember, he picked this, I'm assuming, like, you know, he wasn't 30 when he picked this. You know, he was a kid, right? Race car driver is not a reasonable profession. But is it not fucking awesome?
So, he goes on. I mean, he was in business school, Bobby Brady. Gets into race car driving, crashes his car, is paralyzed, goes through rehabilitation, and goes back to business school.
Wait, hold on a second.
Yes.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm talking about Bobby Brady.
What? Where did the rest of this history of the life of a Brady Bunch come from?
Well.
What is this bullshit? I was listening, I was like, yes, he went to business school, then he was a race car, then he went... Then suddenly, what the fuck? No!
Dave.
Where did that...
Dave, the Brady Bunch lore is not limited to your elementary knowledge of,
No.
The Brady Bunch TV show.
Is this Brady Bunch fan fiction?
It is not Brady Bunch fan fiction.
You're listening...
There were post-Brady Bunch...
Yeah, I know, there's movies, there's a Tiki God, it's... Holiday.
The Tiki God is great. Yeah. That's not even worth maligning. But
no, the Tiki God is awesome.
There's a very Brady Christmas. Okay. There's Kelly's Kids. Wait, did this happen on the Variety Hour.
Did this race car thing happen on the Alice show?
And no, the race car thing is from The Brady's. It was from 1989-1990. It was a dramedy, old school dramedy. I don't know, there might have been 6 episodes. It was, you know, a flash in the pan show. But I'm just saying there's a lot more lore out there on the Brady's. Bobby Jindal taking from Bobby Brady. In my estimation, he's going through the election. You know, let's say he's up for president. He gets nominated as the Republican nominee for the presidential election in 2012. And in the middle of the campaign, he stops to become a race car driver. That's all I'm saying. That's what you have to look forward to.
And, you know, that's awesome. Okay. I think that's great. And that's why I would want him to exercise my Humpty Demon. Oh, man. But, you know, also, now that we're talking about euphemism...
exercising a Humpty Demon?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure that's euphemistic enough for euphemism. But I like it as a phrase.
You're not hiding the meaning of that. It is a good phrase, but...
No.
Hiking the Appalachian Trail is...
Has a little bit of indirection that exercising the Humpty Demon does not.
Right. Kelly's Kids, by the way. Spin-off series about the Neighbors, just in case you were curious.
I wasn't. So, I think we've...
Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on dancing all through the night.
What? That's a Kelly's Kids thing?
No, it's a Brady Bunch song.
Okay, I think we've solved the exorcism issue, by which I mostly mean I want to stop talking about the Brady Bunch.
I think about half of the boys on the Brady Bunch ended up being gay. This podcast has been sponsored by the Foundation Institute. The Foundation Institute, planning for the future and tomorrow. Topic: No Dogs Go to Heaven. And we are back for round 3 or 4.
It depends how you count rounds. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, since the last episode that we recorded, which we recorded in episode 0 and such, even though this is the first production episode.
Yeah, we got some episodes in the can, and quite frankly, they're probably going to stay in the can.
There's been some incidents since the last episode. Ed McMahon died, Farrah Fawcett died, Michael Jackson died. I mean, those are pretty big celebrities' deaths.
Yeah,
and it makes you think, and that's I just want to bring up a question.
According to what we've called this, we do like to think, right, so right. Carry on.
So I just mean on that whole thing, I just wanted to think and talk about, do animals go to heaven?
Yes.
All animals?
Maybe.
All right.
I feel like there's case by case.
Okay.
There's case by case
basis. Dogs. Do dogs go to heaven?
Yeah, I'll say dogs probably, yes.
What about dogs that commit murder? I'm talking people murder.
With malice aforethought?
Some malice, but, you know, heat of the moment. We could say...
So murder too? Dogs that commit murder too?
Murder too. Dogs commit murder too.
I'd say dogs that commit murder too... That's tricky.
Okay, dogs that kill other dogs.
Yeah, sure. That's nature. That seems natural.
They go to heaven?
Yes.
Okay. Cats. Just in general. Just a boring cat.
Yeah, boring cat. Yeah, I'm gonna say my position on which cats go to heaven is basically my same position on which cats I like.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's simple. Kittens go to heaven, fat cats go to heaven, dumb cats go to heaven.
Alright. Like nasty, scratchy cats don't go to heaven.
No.
Alright.
Kittens, fat cats, dumb cats.
Alright.
Fat, dumb cats go to extra heaven.
What about stray cats?
No, I think they go, don't they go on town on a Saturday night, something, something?
I don't know. Does Brian Setzer go to heaven?
No.
Okay. Pigs. They're not kosher. You can't eat them. Do they go to heaven?
From what I remember of the second movie, they go to the city.
All right. Shellfish. Also can't eat them. But they don't even, I mean, it's a shellfish.
Now, here's the thing. I think shellfish go to heaven so you can eat them in heaven.
Okay. So you could eat non-kosher foods in heaven?
Yeah.
Like, you can have all the bacon you want?
Yeah. I think, like, the idea is when you go to heaven, God's just like, hey, you're done. You passed it. You passed the test. You win.
Nice job, bacon.
Have this stuff.
Here you go. Have some bacon.
Mm-hmm.
So if you enjoy bacon on Earth, you go to hell where there is no bacon. If you refrain from bacon while you're alive, eternity of bacon.
Yeah. And if you eat bacon occasionally, you're like, eh, it's not that great. It's okay. Then I don't know what happens then.
Purgatory.
I'm not a theologist. Theologian. Theologate.
Yeah. Theologate. I think that's purgatory.
Uh-huh.
I mean, pork chops, let's not just rule out, let's not just go with bacon, because it's the popular, you know, food of the internet.
Right.
Let's, you know, pork chops, anything else you make out of pig, I don't know.
Ham.
Ham.
Ham is underrated.
Ham is delicious.
Ham is solid.
Yeah.
Okay,
animals. What about bugs? Do bugs go to heaven?
I'll say, I'm going
to... We can go with different bugs. Do dragonflies go to heaven?
Dragonflies go to heaven, yes.
Butterflies go to heaven.
Butterflies go to heaven, yes, except for monarch butterflies.
Why not monarch butterflies?
Because they put on kingly airs. That's pride.
That is pride.
That's a sin.
Aretha Franklin? Does she go to heaven?
I feel like it's racist that you've even put her in this category.
No, because she has pride. She experiences a deeper love. And she calls it pride. She go to heaven.
I think she's sung enough gospel that she manages to escape by.
She sneaks in.
Yeah.
St. Peter lets her in the back door. So to speak.
Now it's not racist again.
So to speak.
No, I just think she gets in on the scales that they stole from Egypt.
Okay. Do beetles go to heaven? I actually have an answer for that.
My first inclination is yes.
Okay. The answer is yes. Just cut this part. Okay, hold on. I just totally blanked on the guy's name. What the fuck is his name?
Well, let's see. There's four Beatles. We can piece this together.
Paul George. Ringo George. Okay, there we go. Okay. Alright. I have an answer for that. Beatles go to heaven, except George Harrison.
Do you not like My Guitar Gently Weeps? That's a
no,
great song.
No, because in My Sweet Lord, he's doing bits about, like, Hare Krishna and stuff. That is right out. That is right out.
All
right.
Say...
And John Lennon probably doesn't go to heaven either.
Okay, horseflies go
And if Paul hell. McCartney hit that one-legged lady, he doesn't go to heaven. Ringo Starr goes to heaven under all circumstances. All possible worlds, Ringo Starr goes to heaven.
Yeah, he did write Octopus's Garden.
Beautiful Garden. Song. And I like the No-No song. You know that song? I like that song.
No.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. It's a good song. It's a fun song.
All right. Okay, so...
You were pointing out something else?
I just said horseflies go straight to hell, because, man, you ever been bitten by a horsefly? I think that might be a New England-y thing, but those fuckers hurt.
I've been bitten by all manner of flying insects. None of them go to heaven. Okay. Except the aforementioned butterflies and dragonflies. Although dragonflies sting like a bitch. Yeah, they can.
Yeah. Also, lightning bugs can go to heaven.
Lightning bugs go to heaven.
All right. Horses.
Horses go to heaven. All horses go to heaven. Especially broken leg horses. They go to double heaven.
All right.
But I like a horse, man. I gotta tell you. I like a horse. It's a noble creature. But have you ever been up close to one?
Yes.
A noble but scary fucking creature. Because you get close to one, you realize...
I've ridden horses, man.
You realize this thing weighs like 10 times as much as me.
Yeah.
Its muscles are the size of my entire body.
It could kick the ever-loving hell out of
you. It could kill me with one hit. That's a scary creature. Bears? Do bears go to heaven?
It's a case-by-case basis.
Case by case.
Like people. Bears get judged by their actions.
All bears go to heaven. And I'm going to tell you why. Because out of the whole category of bears, there have been two things produced unto the world that make them heaven-worthy. Panda bears and teddy bears. Between panda bears and teddy bears, there's enough good bear karma to get all the rest of the bears into heaven.
Okay.
Right.
I'll go with that.
Excellent. Do you have any other questions about, or I no, guess do I have any other questions about creatures?
I think
creatures?
We've pretty much settled the heaven thing. I mean, I think we've done all the animals.
There's heaven no animal is going to be crowded.
Yeah.
It's lucky that angels drive you around in buses up there. That's handy.
Uh-huh.
That's what I hear, at least.
I think.
I mean, how else do you get around
heaven? Golf carts.
And for that matter, what do people look like in heaven?
Yul Brynner.
Everybody?
Yes.
Because I was just thinking, like, what if I had an old relative who really liked?
Yul Brynner.
But how do I tell Yul Brynner from my old relative who I really liked? I don't want to talk to Yul Brynner.
Oh, you know who it is. I mean,
it just looks like Yul Brynner. Yes. You look at them and you say, you look like Yul Brynner. But you're actually Farrah Fawcett.
Yes.
Congratulations, Farrah Fawcett. You look like Yul Brynner now.
You look handsome.
And Michael Jackson gets his dream. He looks like a white guy.
Like Yul Brynner.
Like Yul Brynner.
All right, so I think we've pretty much clarified the heaven thing.
Yeah, heaven is clear now.
Yeah.
I really wish people would come to us more often with questions like this. Because we can just settle them.
Yeah.
There's so much argument in the world today, Dave. Just so much. But you know what? I have to say this. Farrah Fawcett died of a certain kind of cancer.
Indeed she did.
I really wish they would refer to this kind of cancer as something else. As you can see, indeed, I'm already starting to lose it.
You're already starting to crack up because you're a terrible fucking person.
I'm not a mature human being in the sense that I cannot say to you anal cancer without laughing. It's surely, I mean, you could call it something else. I don't know what else. Surely there's
bum bone cancer? Would that help?
Bone cancer. That is not helpful, Dave. You're not helping me.
Tuchus cancer.
Tuchus cancer is no good.
Tushy cancer.
No tushy cancer either.
Booty
no.
cancer.
No booty cancer. None of these are working for me.
How about...
I'm trying to compose myself here, Dave. Anal cancer is not funny.
Ass cancer. Just ass cancer.
Ass cancer is actually less funny.
Okay, we're getting in the right direction with ass cancer.
You're moving in the right direction.
Oh
my goodness.
Posterior cancer.
Oh.
There, that sounds medical. That sounds medical now.
Posterior cancer. I could, I'm getting it back now.
Okay, so a long, courageous battle with posterior cancer.
Yes,
we can treat that with the appropriate somber
you know,
note that
yes.
it deserves.
Hats off to Farrah Fawcett for her courageous battle with posterior cancer. I just want to take that seriously for a moment.
Okay, I'm glad you were able to hold it together for that.
Yeah. What did Eddie McMahon die of? Sidekick cancer? In closing, so that has been episode one of I'm Trying to Think. Are there any parting thoughts you have?
I don't know. I think it went pretty well overall. There's one issue I see with our kind of studio construction, though.
You that have a problem with our lovely Pittsburgh studios?
I do. And the essential problem is we have built a sort of soundproofing wall. It involves foam. There's tubes. There's what looks like, I want to say, a three wood.
I think that might be a three wood.
Involved, so it's an advanced technological thing.
I specialize in MacGyver style rigs.
Uh-huh. But my problem with it is essentially we in our recording are on this side of it, which for simplicity I will call this side.
Right.
The studio restroom is on what I like to call the other side.
Yes, that is what we would call the noise side. It is on noise side.
See, I see complications eventually.
Because you have to go potty?
Not now, but generally, yes.
Well, we'll come up with a better solution in the future.
Because I feel like I could Kool-Aid man that thing, and I might.
That'd be interesting, and I don't have any special connection to the phone. Mm-hmm. But I would want to record it from the other side.
Of course.
So that it's not going to work. Because if you're going to Kool-Aid man that, we're going to put it up on a website. People are going to look at it.
Also, I think if I Kool-Aid Man that, I'd probably wind up getting hit with a golf club.
I wouldn't hit you with a golf club, but no, the golf club itself might hit you. We should. This foam is cheap, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just throwing it out there. We could make a whole institution of Kool-Aid Manning foam walls. And it would be fun.
That does sound like I would enjoy doing that.
I don't know. This might be what we do after we close here.
Okay, in that case, let's get this wrapped up. And
I'm pleased with episode one. We will be back next week for episode two. And then it'll be episode three. Episode two will be on 4th of July. That's exciting. You aren't going anywhere, are you?
Born on the 4th of July. No, I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, we don't have anything fun to do, so we're going to be recording. Then it'll be episode three on the 11th. And episode four will be my birthday. Episode five will be your birthday. Unless we miss a week. In which case, it'll all change.
Then numbers will be different.
But for all you fans out there and listeners, expect another episode recorded next week on the 4th of July, in which case we'll cover many topics that interest you.
Mostly America.
America, freedom, love, hugs, heart, smiley face.
Burgers.
Thank you, and good night.
Goodbye.